This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, visit nature.com/nature/podcast.
At the heart of a computer is its microprocessor, a chip filled with tiny silicon switches called transistors. These create the computer's ones and zeros, and the smaller and more transistors you have, the better the computer's speed and power. But if we shrink silicon too far, then the chips start to heat up and they become inefficient. To keep improving computers, scientists think we'll need to replace silicon. And a promising alternative is carbon. Well, carbon nanotubes, to be precise.
So a carbon nanotube, or a CNT, is just a rolled up sheet of graphene. And graphene is an atomically thin sheet of carbon atoms.
That's Max Schulocker from the Department of Electrical Engineering and Computer Science at MIT. His team are interested in carbon nanotubes because they have some pretty unusual properties, like conducting electricity at an incredible pace. CNTs are also semiconductors, which means that this conduction can be turned on or off. Both these properties mean CNTs could be perfect for making transistors. I called Max up to find out what his team have been doing.
Here at MIT, we're trying to use them to replace silicon, which is what all the devices inside of your computer chips are made from. And it's projected that if we could build a computer chip using carbon nanotubes as the core of these devices that switch inside of your computer, then we could make a computer over an order of magnitude more energy efficient than the computers you're using today in your house.
So because carbon nanotubes are such speedy conductors, I remember that years ago everyone first started getting very excited about the idea that we could use them in computers or in processors that are at the heart of computers. But then nothing really came of that. What were the big issues that scientists and engineers found with actually trying to make processors out of carbon nanotubes?
Yeah, so once CNTs were discovered, there was a huge amount of excitement. But the challenge was, how can you actually build a billion with a B, for instance, working transistors, which are all perfect and uniform, etc., and actually yield a working computer chip?
And what is it about carbon nanotubes that make it so difficult to do that?
Yeah, so for carbon nanotubes, there are really three major intrinsic challenges with the material. There are what we like to refer to as material defects, manufacturing defects, and then intrinsic variability. So on the material defect side, when we grow our carbon nanotubes, they unfortunately don't all grow perfectly uniform. And it turns out that if you don't get the precise right combination of diameter and chirality, then some of these carbon nanotubes, instead of being a semiconducting material, they will instead be metallic, which means it's basically just a nano rod of metal. You can never turn it off. So that's the material defect. On the manufacturing defect side, when we have all these nanotubes, in order to get them onto the wafer after we grow them, we actually disperse them in a solution. And then we pour that solution over the wafer. And when the wafer dries, it leaves behind the nanotubes on the wafer. The challenge is that the nanotubes, while we want them to be perfectly isolated from one another, in the solution, sometimes they'll actually bundle together. That's like a manufacturing defect. And then the third challenge with CNTs is variability. So when we build a computing system, we need to be able to build billions of identical devices across an entire wafer, and we need to be able to tune each of these devices as well. And in the past, we've only been able to build one type of transistor using carbon nanotubes. So in this work, we figured out how we can build many different types and tune all of these different transistors across our wafer and make them very uniform as well.
So it sounds like there's some pretty big hurdles to overcome. How did you manage to do that?
What it required was innovations in processing. So how do we actually build these chips, new types of processing techniques, etc., as well as new circuit design techniques? So for instance, for the manufacturing defects, these bundles of nanotubes that are particles that end up on our wafer, we found a way that we could selectively wash off just these big bundles without washing off the good single isolated carbon nanotubes on our wafer. And then for the material defects, for the metallic carbon nanotubes, we came up with this design technique where the technique allows us to actually design circuits in such a way that they are immune to any of these remaining metallic CNTs that slips through the processing and end up in our circuit.
So using all those techniques, you've made this microprocessor. What kind of tasks or calculations can it actually do?
So it's a 16-bit machine running 32-bit instructions. So we can add or multiply or divide or, you know, take the exponent or square root of these 16-bit numbers.
So it's not just some little kind of toy machine. It could do some pretty hefty calculations.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can program this computer just like you would program pretty much any computer today. So this is like a microcontroller that you could pick up at a hobbyist shop to program and control a small robot, for instance.
Wow. And so I'm guessing it's probably the biggest processor made of carbon nanotubes that's out there at the moment.
This is definitely the largest and most complex digital system fabricated from carbon nanotubes. And even more broadly than that, it's the most complex computing system fabricated from any beyond silicon emerging nanotechnology.
And the idea with going beyond silicon then, as we started out by saying, was that you want your system to be more energy efficient and maybe faster. Is this system there yet? Is it actually more efficient than silicon?
So right now, what we've been able to show is that this technology can work. So the next step in the process is to focus on performance. We're not quite all the way there yet, but the progress is really becoming more rapid. And I think we're quickly approaching now a time when soon you'll be able to see computer chips made from technologies beyond silicon, which can outperform computer chips just made from silicon today.
So how easy do you think it'll actually be then to transfer this into making a commercial product?
We're actually already partnering very closely with industry in order to transfer carbon nanotubes into their manufacturing facilities so we can actually, you know, get these CNT chips out into the real world.
So how long do you think it'll be before my mobile phone, say, has carbon nanotubes in it?
I think if you asked me that question a couple of years ago, the answer would be we're not sure. I think now, given the progress that we've made in this work, that it won't be too long. We're talking under 5 years till you'll begin to see chips that are still built with silicon, but also have some carbon nanotube circuits built right on top of them, for instance. So we're not talking about, I think, science fiction anymore. It's a matter of when. And hopefully not just if.